Like that. No exceptions.
No.
No exceptions. Hallelujah. It's easy to make exceptions, isn't it? Hallelujah. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever, we love that word. Whosoever, there's no exceptions in there now. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Sometimes we just use words that we don't ever stop and meditate on the words, do we? We think about everlasting life. This is not everlasting like ever ready daddies or Duracell or anything else. This is everlasting life. It ain't ever going to get boring, which means it's going to be, hallelujah, it's not just going to be the same old every day. Amen. There's elements of life that are out there that we haven't begun to experience yet. It's just so phenomenal that it would blow a little short circuit or little brain right now if we were even to get a touch of it sometime. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Even get a glimpse of it. Glory to God, hallelujah. It's kind of exciting, I think. You know, things exciting.
Amen.
But you don't look very excited. Amen. What did I say? What happened? The joy of the Lord is so deep down, you know, and He said, well, it's about time you fold your face. Amen. Our faces, people need to see it. They need to see how excited we are. Amen.
Yeah.
And for most, when you're doing through life, you know, mundane things you're doing, you know, you probably don't look very excited. But start talking about Jesus to people.
Yeah.
Something happens, something supernatural happens, something exciting just begins to bubble up from the inside of you.
Yeah.
So maybe like the other guy said, it is these days, we'll bring it up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, the best wells are the wells that run deep, and you've got to dig down there to let that thing burst out.
Yeah.
Amen. Stir up again.
Amen.
That is within you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Here we are, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my Father's house, we're just saying that a few minutes ago. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Amen. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Amen. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. A special place for me. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We've been speaking about this, haven't we? This has been our time for ministry, our time to be a continuation of Jesus' ministry. Well, who knows, there's basically two very simple qualifications for a Jesus ministry. You need a BA and a PhD if you're really going to do it properly. Amen. You need to be born again. You need to be past having doubts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, there's two very simple qualifications for a Jesus ministry. The first one is that you love God. That's what Jesus said. And the second is that you love people. If you don't love people yet, well, your ministry's on hold for a wee while. Until you learn to love people. Until you let the love of God just fill you up so much that you begin to love who He loves. And if we know one thing, He loves people. Hallelujah. People are on His heart and on His mind. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He already had everything else. He already owned everything. He created everything. And yet, at the apex of His creation, there were people. And He kind of lost relationship with them because of man's sin, but He paid the highest price, as we've said before. He placed the highest value on every one of us when He paid the highest price that He could pay. Why? Because He loves people. To redeem people, He was willing to pay that price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What qualifies you for ministry? That you love God. And that you love people. You don't need anything else. Anything else is I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything else, but it's just add-ons. Extras. Supplements. Come on. Anyway, last time we made the simple declaration, didn't we? I am a minister. And we can say that because everyone is a minister. Let's say it. Everyone is a minister in our church. Say, I am a minister. What qualifies you? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. There's a place in my Father's house for me.
Yeah.
He says, you're a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Every single last one of us, there's a place for us in that royal priesthood. There's a place of ministry for every one of us.
Yeah.
Our prophetic declaration, of course, for 5782 2022 is the year of reconciliation. Let's just read what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 19 once again. Therefore, if anyone, say anyone, is in Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us. Say us.
See, there's no exception. We've been included in this to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, say us. Given us. No, sorry. Given Pastor Donny Stewart the ministry of reconciliation, brah. No, he's given us, say us. In my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm qualified. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us. Say us. Oh, no, sorry. No. The ministry of the word is mine. No, he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know, I just love the simplicity of a Jesus ministry. It's time for a Jesus ministry. Amen. He's the head. He'll always be the head, but we are his body. Amen. Every single last one of us. We're all a part of his body. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for... Mwah! If you're French. What's me in Romanian, bro? What is the word for me in Romanian? That's it. See, there's a place for him too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the simplicity of a Jesus ministry. Remember, Jesus... We looked at this last week, I mentioned the enemy, that Jesus released many unlikely candidates into ministry immediately following their life-changing encounters with him. Immediately. He just released them. Sent a man who had 5,000 or 6,000 demons a few minutes before that. He said, go home and show them, go tell them, go show them what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Amen. We're all scared, stiff of the guy. You imagine the guy walked in, but here he is. He's clothed and in his right mind. What can everybody see immediately? Something has changed. Has radically changed in his life. Hallelujah. When you met Jesus, something changes at a very base foundational level. People need to see the change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let them see it. Let them hear the change. Amen. Our personal testimony of our life transforming encounter is actually the foundation for our ministry. Amen. Our personal testimony, I've said this many times over the years, the most powerful weapon and tool we have in our hands for ministry is our personal testimony. Why? Because it's very difficult for people to argue you out of what you know has happened in your life.
Right.
Hallelujah. And praise God, there should be evidence. Amen. One old fellow down in Scalpy, he says, you heard about Jesus turning the water into wine? Come to my house, I'll show you where he turned whiskey into furniture. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one day, there was a guy I used to know years ago, and one day I was just driving through Stornoway in an evening, and I saw this man walking down the road with a big King James Bible under his arm. And I thought, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be that something has happened to him. Because I know who he used to be. I know what he used to say about God and everything else, and how he was against the church and everything else, but I tell you, I saw him walking down towards the prayer meeting, hallelujah, down Goat Hill Road, hallelujah. I said, something has changed in that man's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, our message, the reason that our testimony is so powerful is that it carries authority, and it carries authority because we know that it happened to us. We're not just speaking out religious words. We're not just telling someone else's story. That's okay sometimes in the right environment, but we need to tell our own story. Amen. Some people think, I don't have a testimony. Some people who are born again very young, Kirsty, Katrina, they think, oh, we don't have much of a testimony because we thought testimony was telling people all the things you did for the devil. I used to do that. I used to give a wonderful 55-minute testimony to whatever I did for the devil, and then I'd say, and then I got born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I tell you, I might give 3 minutes to the devil, and then I'll tell you, I can't stop talking about what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because he's still doing it every single day. He's doing something. Amen. See, our message, folks, is very simple. Our message is so simple, it's just basically this. Jesus did it all. See, if you don't think that Jesus did it all, it becomes complicated. You have to get into all kinds of theological arguments and debates and studies and everything else to find out what he didn't do and what he did do. He did it all, and he did it all for all. That's simple.
Yeah.
Now, you can come to this church, and you might not believe that. That's okay. You'll get a free upgrade if you sit long enough and listen long enough. Come on. What we don't particularly like is when you sit down with people and whisper in their ear and say, that's a load of rubbish. Why would you ever want to take away from anything that Jesus did? Think about that. Think about that logically. Who is whispering in your ear while you're whispering in their ear? Think about it. Why would anybody ever, who calls himself a believer, calls himself a Christian, calls himself a disciple of Jesus Christ, want to argue you out of the fact that Jesus did it all?
That's right.
There's only one being that I know who's behind that.
Yeah.
He's not part of the Trinity.
No.
He's not the Father, and he ain't the Son, and he ain't the Holy Spirit. I'll guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So that won't split for himself and rebelled against everything and lost his place. And he'll never get it back. Isn't that awesome what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, that God did not send aid to the angels who fell, but he sent aid to us?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Came to deliver us. Through all of our lifetime, we're in bondage to the fear of death, to the end, this end that we did not know what was coming after, apart from disaster. And he came and he redeemed us, saved us, delivered us, healed us. Hallelujah. Jesus did it all. He provided all that we will ever need, not just for time, but for eternity. And he did it all for people. He did it all for all people everywhere, regardless of their past or of their present. Doesn't matter what they're involved in right now. He did it for them. Hallelujah. The people that we are saying, oh no, we have to make an exception there. No exceptions. The good news is, in your Father's house, there's a place for you. You can be a child of God. Yes, you can. Because Jesus did it all. Come on.
Yeah.
He said he did it all. He did it all for all. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, our Heavenly Father, right now our Lord Jesus Christ, right now the Holy Spirit, they are simply looking for someone who is willing to tell anyone that Jesus provided everything for everyone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where you prayed at the beginning, all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We proclaim freedom over the people of these islands and across the nations. Why? Because whom the Son set free is free. And you know there's a lot of free people out there who don't know they're free. Because Jesus already purchased their freedom. He already paid for their freedom. That's why we carry this ministry, this word. Come on, Jesus died for your freedom. If you would only believe that you're already free, you'd begin to walk in that. Begin to thank him for that. Begin to praise him for that. Allow the Holy Spirit come and change you. Transform you from who you used to be into a new creation, a brand new creation where all of the old is gone and all of the new has come. Hallelujah. So anyway, today I want to remind us of the message that I believe is the DNA of New Wine Church. Say, I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Because everyone's a minister in our church. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out and set up her seven. This is the Amplified Bible, which reminds us that seven is the perfect number of pillars. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's song we were singing. Well, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. What's the church? What's this church? It's the house of God. Hallelujah. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm going to give you seven pillars this morning as I perceive them. I want to tell you that this right now, it took a lot of digging. Religion and tradition are the last strongholds that need to come down. Hallelujah. Because they limit people's freedom in Christ. Jesus said, Jesus said there's one thing that can make the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of His power, the living Word of God that we know has changed us in so many ways. He said there's one thing that can make it ineffective. Tradition. Tradition. So, hallelujah. So that's why I tell you, it took a lot of digging through religious tradition to get to this foundation, which I believe is just a comprehensive summary of everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Everything that Jesus accomplished on our behalf at the cross. You see, as soon as you realise that Jesus did everything, as I said, it just makes it so simple, so straightforward. And the seven pillars are this. We can have a sin-proof heart. We can have a sickness-proof body, a depression and oppression-proof mind. We can have recession-proof finances. We can have a divorce-proof marriage. We can have a strife. We can have strife-proof relationships and a division-proof church. And ultimately, we can have a death-proof life. I mean, if we don't believe that, then what are we supposed to make of this statement straight from the lips of Jesus? Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." You know, the one that we give all of the glory to. The devil made me do this. The devil made me do that. The devil stopped me from doing this. The devil stopped me from doing that. That's not a testimony about Jesus. "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing." When you get up in the morning and your feet touch the floor, hell should tremble. Oh no, they're up. They might have even tried to get you when you were asleep, start to poison your mind with all kinds of ridiculous dreams. We need to learn how to take authority of the devil even in our sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not done yet. "I don't only give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And he says, "And nothing." Remember, nothing means nothing.
Nothing.
"Shall by any means." That means any means. Doesn't matter what means. Any means hurt you. Let me say, I'm a minister.
I'm a minister.
I'm a minister because everyone's a minister in our church. See, we come here together and we gather together. It's great, isn't it? Hallelujah. No more people to marry. Hallelujah. Fantastic to get encouraged, to get built up, to worship the Lord together, to get stronger as His presence manifests among us. And we leave here, I hope, excited.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Why should we leave here excited? Because we're going back into the world. The ministry happens out there. Yeah, there's some ministry happens out here, but the majority of our ministry should happen out there. Hallelujah. "As you go," Jesus said, "tell them the kingdom of God has drawn near to them." Come on. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do we encounter people every day that sin is hurting? Of course we do. Do we encounter people every day that sickness is hurting? Yeah, we do. That depression and oppression are hurting, yes. Do we meet people whose finances are hurting? Especially now, things are, they're telling us, the news is bombarding you, things are getting harder and worse. Your electricity is going to cost you 50% more after April, all of that stuff, and people are falling out. I listen to the radio sometimes, to the people, talking to people, and people are falling apart, they don't know what to do. All of the charities that try and help people are saying, this is a disaster. Are there people out there whose finances are hurting? Yes, there are. Whose marriage is hurting? Yes, we know there are. Whose relationships are hurting? Yes, there are. Then we have a message. That is good news. And that is always relevant. That Jesus said, "I'll give you authority over all of the things that come against you so that nothing shall by any means hurt you." Oh, come on. Is that good news?
Amen.
Surely that's got to be good news.
Oh.
You would think so. You see, I'll tell you one of the things that, one of the phrases that has infiltrated the church. You know, it's often said, bad things happen to good people. Now, maybe you thought that way. And you know what? We can't deny it. That's how it appears to be. Does it not? That bad things happen to good people. But you see, we have to get beyond that. We must get over that. Otherwise, Jesus was having us on and misleading us. Otherwise, our Jesus is a very cruel Jesus. Because he said, "I'll give you authority and power over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means hurt you." So either he's a liar or everybody else is a liar. I know who I'm running with. I don't care who they are and how many PhDs they might have, glory to God. I'm running with Jesus. I'm sticking with what he said. "Oh, but you don't understand, brother. I'll show you. Just start bamboozling you with all kinds of stuff." We never, ever, ever bring God's word down to the level of our or anybody else's experience. But we trust with all of our hearts and we believe God and we stand in His Word and we proclaim and we declare His Word until our experience comes up to the level of His Word. And so we're back standing on the premises instead of sitting on the premises. Hallelujah. Come on. We were singing that the other night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we are born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit, and according to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death and everything that is attached to that. Everything that comes as a consequence of that. Jesus said, I give you authority. The Greek word is exousia. In the King James Version, it's translated power. He says, I give you authority over. Say over.
Over.
He doesn't even say, I give you authority to muddle along, to get by under the power of the enemy. That's what religion told you. That's what tradition told you. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus did not say that. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. What is he saying? He said, I've lifted you above and I've set you over all the power of the enemy. Jesus doesn't deny that he's got power. He says, I give you power that's greater than his power. And so personally, we must get over the things that are hurting us so that we can help others, so we can bring our testimony to them and get to help them get over the things that are hurting them. Tell yourself, get over it. So get over it. Get over it. Remember, you can be the prophet over your own life. Get over it. You're just agreeing with what Jesus said. I brought you over. Mm-hmm. How do you become an overcomer? You come over. It's that easy. Simple. You know, if someone else told you to get over it, you might be hurt by their statement. But when you know that there's a that in your Father's house there's a place for you, that you're a child of God, that you're a minister in His kingdom. When you know that you've been given authority over everything that can hurt you, that statement, get over it, it becomes the sweetest and the most powerful and the most liberating words that you've ever heard. Wake up every morning and say, get over it! What are you doing? You're just responding to Jesus' invitation to be an overcomer. To come on over. Get over it! You wake up in the morning and start thinking, oh, I don't feel so. Get over it! I don't worry about it. Get over it! Get over it! Get over it! Some people think they're the most cruel words that anybody could ever speak to them. Get over it! Well, you're hurting my feelings. I'm not trying to talk to your feelings. I'm talking to your born-again spirit. Get over it. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me. Has made, not will make, not someday in the sweet by and by, no, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Get over it. Get over it! Everybody, get over it! Freedom! Freedom! Hallelujah. I was sitting in my study early on Friday morning. I got up very early in the morning. I'm not trying to impress you, I'm just testifying. Because I'm going out to meet a full day. So I got up early in the morning and I was sitting in my study and I'm preparing to step out into mission workplace. Hallelujah. Very challenging place, isn't it? Mission workplace. And so I was meditating on what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. When he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who hates us so much.
No.
He's always tormenting us.
No.
Misleading us. Putting lies on us. No. Through him who loved us. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay Lord, how can we be more than conquerors? Because a conqueror is someone who defeats thoroughly and completely. Mm-hmm. So how can you be more than that? Well, Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says this, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil who are operating against us, Amplified Bible, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Remember you talked about this once a few months ago in Father's House. But Jesus is the conqueror. He's our champion who triumphed over all of the evil forces that were against us. When at the cross he did it all, provided us with victory and authority over all the power of the enemy. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and it just came to me so forcefully, and so I was laughing and shouting. Early hours of Friday morning, sitting there, oh my shit, I just boom! Because at the cross he did it all. And it came to me so forcefully and so joyously right there on Friday morning, sitting at my desk in my study, that we are more than conquerors when we simply believe and step into what he has already freely provided. That's how you become more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Nothing more complicated than that. You just step in. You simply believe and you step into everything that the conqueror has provided. Oh, hallelujah. And you celebrate it every day. And you refuse to do with nothing less than that every day. You refuse to take what the world or the devil chucks at you. Glory to God. Why? Because you're now more than a conqueror. Oh, hallelujah. You were there as a spectator when he led the devil captive through that, in that triumphal procession, and put him to an open shame. We're not here to glorify the devil by telling people all the things he's done against us. We're here to shame him and all the things that he came against us with that failed, and they all failed because we have victory.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I. And I remember being a young man and hearing preachers and the church I was a part of then preaching, and they used to bring up this man called Billy Bray and talk about this book he'd written called, I think it's called, The King's Son. And they would talk about this book. And they would tell about Billy Bray, who built churches all around the south of England back in his day. It was in the 18th century, or right, early 19th. And there were some phrases that he said. He said one day, if they put me in a barrel and roll me down a hill, I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole. He said, I just step out every morning, I put this foot forward, it says glory, I put this forward, it says amen. I just walk down the road, I say glory, amen. And they would talk about that. And I thought, well, if Billy Bray can have it, can we not have it? Well, if Billy Bray can have it, if he's a child of God, so am I. If it's all right for Billy Bray, it's all right for me, and it's all right for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You just get out there tomorrow morning, glory, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. All we have to do to be more than conquerors is simply step in. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 to 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. How do you stand firm against him? Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Hallelujah, freedom! Hallelujah, that will rocket him. Hallelujah, send him. Boom! Take off. Submit to God. What are you doing when you're saying that? You're submitting to God. You're taking seriously what he said. Lord, I believe what you said. I reject everything else. Every other voice apart from yours. You said, I'm more than a conqueror. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. You gave me power. You gave me authority over all the power of the enemy. You said nothing by any means can hurt me. Hallelujah. Glory, amen. Glory, amen. Hallelujah! Freedom! Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, standing immovably on what God has said and on what he has promised. Hallelujah. Oh, I got a bit scared. What happened if I believe that Jesus died to heal me? What happens if I die? He said, you know what your problem is? You haven't died yet. You're not dead yet. You're still worried about dying. You can't have died yet. You're supposed to have done all the dying you were ever going to do. You died with Christ, and you were raised again. You were buried with him, and you were raised again with him. Is Jesus going to die? Is he sitting at the right hand of the Father, worried about having a heart attack any minute? Don't be so ridiculous! Hallelujah. You see, it's possible to have a sin-proof heart for one reason and one reason only. Because God's word says it's possible. That's the only reason. It's possible to have a sickness-proof body, a depression and oppression-proof mind, a recession-proof, to have recession-proof finances, to have a divorce-proof marriage, to have strife-proof relationships, a division-proof church, and ultimately a death-proof life for one reason and one reason only, because our Father says so in His Word, because He has promised us these things in His Word. Hallelujah. That's the only reason. That's a good reason for, that's it. That's a good enough reason for me. See, I'm a minister. There's people out there need to hear these things. They're simple. They're straightforward. I know someone who's already done everything that he needed to do to help you with what's hurting you right now. His name is Jesus. Whatever it is. You hear some sad stories out there. You hear some really sorry stories out there. But none of them are beyond what Jesus did already for that person. Hallelujah. And what he did for all of us. That's all we need. His word is the final word. Have you established that yet? See, do you not? You need to do some more digging. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 1? That in these last days, God has already spoken to us through His Son. Man, I believe that when God tells me. He told you! He didn't just tell you. He demonstrated it for you. How much of a glorious technicolor picture do you need? Just look at the cross. Yeah, the cross, He did it all. And he even said he'd done all. He said, it is finished. Complete, perfectly, perfect, completely complete. Everything that needed to be done has been done. Hallelujah. His word is the final word, the last word on His good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. I don't know what God's will is. Well, you don't know His word then. But I'm waiting for some prophet to come from somewhere and tell you what His word is. You need to dig through all of the A words and get back to the word. And maybe some prophet will come and confirm what the word told you. But if He hasn't, if God hasn't said it with the word, then don't wait for an A word. If God hasn't spoken to you from the word, there's very little chance that some genuine prophet is going to come and give you an A word. Very little chance. God's already speaking to you. And then prophets come to confirm what God has said. What God is saying in your life. I love the prophetic. I love to hear the prophetic word hits you one place and one place only. It doesn't grab your emotions. It doesn't puff you up. It hits you here. Well, you have that spirit connection with the Father. Hallelujah, with the throne of heaven. He that is joined to the Lord has become one spirit with Him. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Come on. That word, that true prophetic word, it gets you right here. Hallelujah. And it, boom. You never forget it. And it strengthens you even in the times when all hell is breaking loose all around you. It keeps you standing, 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 standing. See, I'm a minister. Everyone is a minister in our church. James chapter 4 verse 6. I think we're going to stop the minister. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to give you a wee bonus. Already kind of touched on it. But when I said it took a long time to dig down through all of the stuff, I mean, I'm not saying I've got it all together. I'm just saying I now know what God says. And I'm trying to stand by the power that He supplies on that, what He says. Do we stumble and fall? Well, I don't know about you, but I do. I have done it. I don't want it, but I want to learn how not to. I'm a disciple. I'm a learner. Come on, I've still got an L plate in my Bible. Come on. Hallelujah. There it is. That's my marker. That's my marker. Why? Because I'm still a learner. I'm still learning. I hope to go on learning. Even in eternity, I believe I'll be learning. Hallelujah. Come on. It's not going to end this still down here. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm not going to get into anything. I knew we had it sussed. No, there's so much. There's so much of God that we'll never get to the end of who He is. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. As I was digging, you know, who knows that sometimes, well, the people have said this, well, leadership can be lonely. And it can. And so you're looking for people that will maybe come and who want to partner with you in what you're doing. Not just in the local church, but other people in ministry who maybe will come and partner with you and help you. And so you're looking for that. And so many people came over the years and I thought, praise God, partnership. Partnership. We can hold each other's hands and we can strengthen, we can encourage one another. And that's good, and it goes to a certain place. But then I realise there's another level of that, that sometimes God wants us in partnership with one another in His church. Yeah. But see, sometimes partnership becomes ownership. Yeah. See, you're looking for partnership, but people who come, they don't want partnership, they want ownership. And I'll tell you how, one of the ways I discovered that happened, because all of a sudden, you're sharing with them what you believe God has revealed to you about how Jesus did it all, and they want to take you away from it. I'm quite happy to partner with people who don't believe everything that I believe exactly the way I believe it. Because, I mean, that would be a miracle all in itself. Amen. But you see, they don't want partnership if they want ownership. As I said before, if they hung around long enough, maybe they'd get a free upgrade, maybe they wouldn't. But I'm not going to try. If you come here to this church and you come and you've listened to me preach and you're going to come back and you're going to listen again, well, I want to tell you something. I am not going to try and take anything away from you. Because it's the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Yeah.
But I will seek by the power of God and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give you something.
Yes.
To give you something that maybe you don't have yet. I'm not saying you don't, but maybe you don't have yet. Because our God is a giver and not a taker. Like I said, you can get a free upgrade, but don't come banging on my door and trying to take something from me that God's already established in my life that I know to be true. Hallelujah. I'll love you anyway and I'll hug you and go to God. We'll have a cup of tea and some cake. Go to God, but don't start nipping my ear about all the stuff that's straight out the devil's mouth that's trying to take away from what God has already done. Come on. Hallelujah. And if nothing else, we'll sing praises to God. Hallelujah. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and do what only He can do in our lives with glory to God. But I will not suffer people coming and saying, Well, you shouldn't believe that Jesus does it. You know, some He does, some He doesn't. Where do you get that from? It's not in the Word. Jesus never said it. If He never said it, I ain't accepting it. But some have and some haven't. But that doesn't matter. That's just their experience thus far. That's not in line with God's Word. I've cried and I've wept and I've shouted at God, although there's some that haven't, but glory to God, I'm not giving up on it. He yanks you up by your graces if you will him have it. Come on. What does the American say? He jerks the slack out of you. He says, get back on track, just like you did with Elijah. What are you doing there moping, Elijah? Get up and get back on the job. Hallelujah. And you know what? Instantly he found a partnership.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
With Elisha. Yeah. Hallelujah. Instantly when he was back on track, he found a partnership. I thank God over the years we've come into partnership with some folks. Hallelujah. And we can sit down and it can be free and it can be, because there's no argy-bargy over this and over that. We're no longer fussing and cussing over stuff that Jesus already said and established in His Word. I still thank God for all of the others. Hallelujah. And let's sit down and glory to God and let's have fellowship in the Holy Spirit and let Him do what only He can do. But I will never try to take anything from you. I love the way Paul said that to the churches that he visited. He said, I never took anything from you. I don't believe he was just talking about physical things. He was talking about spiritual things. All he ever was on his heart was to give and to establish people in the truth of everything that Jesus. Even Peter was going. I mean, Peter started to compromise a little bit with his stance regarding fellowshipping with the Gentiles. You know, any other Jew showed up, he was like, oh, who me? Eat with the Gentiles? Oh, not me. Peter, he said, even Barnabas, who came with Paul, was getting sucked into that. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, I had to stand him to his face. He said, Peter, that's out of order. Get over it. Get over it. Hallelujah. See, not everything in the church is always sweetness and light. I mean, Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement that caused them to go in separate directions. You know why? I'll give you another bonus and we'll be done. This is what I believe what happened. You see, Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas had a reputation. You know the most dangerous thing you can have is a reputation. The most dangerous thing. Jesus became of no reputation. Now there's lots of people running around trying to get a reputation. They think what you need in the church is a reputation. Well, I want to tell you, if Jesus wanted no reputation, this only safe place for you and I is to have no reputation. But see, Barnabas had developed a reputation. And what was his reputation? That he was always encouraging people. And so when John Mark joined Paul and Barnabas on a mission trip, he just plain wasn't ready for it. And he took off back home with his tail between his legs. And so when it came to going on the next trip, Paul said, he's not coming this time. Not because I hate him, not because I'm rejecting him, because he's just not ready yet. So, but Barnabas, because he has a reputation, now see, some people even, they don't understand encouragement. They think encouragement is, get out there and do it, come on, show them how it's done. Now, some encouragement could be, sit there for a wee bit longer, Kirsty. Just wait a wee bit longer, Esther, before you take the big leap. That's encouragement. That's not rejection, that's encouragement. So he went into his soul with his gift. He thought, I can't say to him he's not coming because that won't be encouraging. Encouragement. Yeah. And you know the awesome thing is that later on, John Mark comes back in to useful ministry.
Right.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm a minister.
I'm a minister.
Say, everyone's a minister.
Everyone.
In our church. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. We need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, we've got this far today, Lord. I know there's so much more you want to bring on this, Lord, but I thank you that we've got this far, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the foundation that you desire to establish us upon, the foundation that is Jesus. There is no other foundation that can be laid but that which is already laid. Thank you, Father, we can testify today that there's in our Father's house there is a place for us, for all of us, for each and every one of us, no exceptions. Because each and every one of us can testify today. Lord, if we run out here into the world tomorrow with a testimony, and it can't be any more than this, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Yes. Hallelujah. Then let us declare that. And let us bring the good news to everyone out there that they too can have that testimony. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. And that very testimony changes everything. All of the dynamics are changed with that one statement. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Thank you, Lord. Deliver us from the mechanics of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And restore us back to the dynamics of relationship.
Yes, Lord.
In my Father's house, there is a place for me. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Lord, we just again proclaim that freedom over people, Lord, that they would receive that testimony and make it theirs. In Jesus' name, be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in your church. As you add to the church daily those who are being saved. Who are taking hold of that testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.